We've said, give me the Bible, and the Bible is our textbook. And our text is the book of Luke, chapter 1. We'll begin our reading in verse 5. Luke chapter 1, and in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. This afternoon, I want to spend a few moments thinking with you about those words, well stricken in years. The Bible records that both Zacharias and Elizabeth were well stricken in age or years. That is to say that they were advanced in years. They were older. And I'm wondering if maybe this afternoon that you and I maybe can learn some lessons that come from that phrase, well stricken in years. We might take notice of the fact that the Bible mentions others who were well stricken in years. Abraham, the Bible records, was well stricken in years. In the book of Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 13, he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with a great substance. And verse 15, notice what's said, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And if you'll turn over a few chapters to Genesis chapter 25, verses 7 and 8, we'll notice that he did die in a good old age. When it says that these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Abraham was well stricken in years. In Genesis chapter 47, we read of someone else that was well stricken in years. Genesis 47, beginning in verse 8. Pharaoh said unto Jacob, remember the question that was asked? How old art thou? You see, sometimes people do ask how old you are, don't they? Pharaoh said, how old are you? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Jacob, at 130 years old, said, my days are few. Quite a statement, isn't it? My days are few. In chapter 49 and verse 33, when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, the Bible says he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Isaac was well stricken in years. In Genesis chapter 35, we'll read verses 28 and 29. And the days of Isaac were 104 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Isaac, as well, was well stricken in years. Moses was well stricken in years, according to the scriptures. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, beginning in verse 5, the scripture says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day." In verse 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Moses, at 120, was well stricken in years, wasn't he? Joshua was well stricken in years. We read that in our study today, didn't we? In the book of Joshua, chapter 23, and in verse 1, "It came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age." Sometimes we wax old, don't we? And we're stricken in age, or stricken in years, as the scripture says. The Bible also records that David was well stricken in years. In the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, we'll be looking at verse 26 through 28. "Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem." Now what's said about his death? He died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. There's six, not counting Zacharias and Elizabeth, that are mentioned specifically in Scripture as being well stricken in years, advanced in years. Well, others were well stricken in years. But what lessons are we to derive from that? Well, a great lesson that you and I can learn from that is something that we noted a moment ago when it was said of Jacob that his days were few. And that is that life is soon cut off, no matter how long we live. We might live to a point that some would record of us, we were well stricken in years, or we were advanced in age. But be that as it may, it's still true that life is soon cut off. There's no changing that. How do you know that? Because the scriptures say that. That's why. In the book of Psalm, chapter 90, and in verse 10, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. You might notice a difference there in 70 years and 10. That'd be 70, wouldn't it? Days of our years are 70. Doesn't seem very old, does it? Oh, there was a time 70 seemed pretty old, didn't it? It's not near as old as it used to be, is it? "And if by reason of strength they be 80, that is 80. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for," notice this, "it is soon cut off, and we fly away." We need to get a hold of that. Your life, no matter how long you live, is soon cut off. Remember Jacob, Genesis 47, 8 and 9? He was 130. He said, "My days are few." Quite a statement, isn't it? From someone advanced in age. I remember many, many years ago as a child attending a man's 100th birthday party. People were talking to him about longevity and different things. And one of the things that stuck with me as a child that he said was, at 100, he said, "Just seems like yesterday I was a boy." Yesterday. That's how it is, evidently, isn't it? That's how Jacob felt. "My days are few. Just yesterday I was a boy. Just yesterday I was doing this and doing that." Life is soon cut off. You know, a lot of people haven't learned that. A lot of people don't want to admit that. In the book of Job, chapter 14, there's several statements that relate to this, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." And then notice in verse 2, "He that is man cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." Life is compared to a shadow in this particular case, or like a flower. A flower that comes up and before you know it, it's soon cut down. All of us as mankind are a few days. Life is soon cut off. We all probably remember what James said about that in the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 14. He said, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" That's a question, by the way. And that's a question that we need to ask. And then he goes on to answer that. What is your life? What does the Scripture say about our life? "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Life is compared to a vapor that's here just for a short time and then it disappears. It vanishes away. Some people say, "Here today, gone tomorrow." That's sort of the idea, isn't it? We're soon cut off. We soon fly away. We're like that flower. We're like the grass of the field. Life is soon cut off. And then third, we must number our days. And we must apply our hearts to wisdom. What do you do when you number your days? Say, "Well, let's see, if I go back, I'm this age, and that's years, 360. That's not what he means. That. So I've been here so many days. Is that what he means? It's not a matter of arithmetic, is it? That's not the point. Number your days means consider your mortality. Realize the brevity of life. Realize the certainty of death. We must consider our latter end and what will come hereafter. He said not only number your days, but the Scripture we noted said apply your hearts to wisdom. What do you do when you apply your hearts to wisdom? So I said, "Oh, I run down to a university somewhere and I sign up and take a bunch of classes." That's what a lot of people think when it comes to wisdom, don't they? And there is that worldly, earthly wisdom that the Bible talks about. But then there's a higher wisdom, a greater wisdom that the Scripture calls upon us to apply our hearts to. Literally, it means grow in wisdom, live wisely, acquire a wise heart. Consider your mortality and live wisely. It's what the Scripture means when it says, number your days and apply your hearts to wisdom. In the book of Deuteronomy, I had a fascinating study through the books of Deuteronomy and Joshua, haven't we? Remember Moses' song in Deuteronomy chapter 32? He said in verses 28 and 29, "For they are a nation void of counsel." And he's saying this about Israel. Now listen, "They are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." Think about that. You know, that's the problem with Israel. We wonder sometimes why they did the things they did. They were void of understanding. They didn't have the spiritual wisdom that they needed to have. They made wrong choices and wrong decisions in life. Did they consider their latter end? No, they didn't consider their latter end like they should have at times. Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they understood, Moses said. And isn't that still true today? There are a lot of folks that just haven't yet figured it out. They're in search of so many things. In search of this, in search of that. But they're not in search of the true wisdom that comes from God. The Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is something. You know what the beginning of wisdom is? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. In Psalm 111 and in verse 10. That means that's where it starts. Show me a person that's wise in the Lord, and I'll tell you about their beginning, where it all started. With a respect for God Almighty. People that don't have any respect for God don't go very far, do they? Oh, they might go far in this life. That's not what we're talking about, are we? We're talking about spiritual success. We're talking about inheriting a home with Jesus our Lord. We're talking about surrounding ourselves around the throne of God. And in the book of Proverbs chapter 2 and in verse 6, the Bible is careful to tell us where wisdom comes from. It says, "The Lord giveth wisdom." And you know He still does, doesn't He? Who is a wise man? The Lord giveth wisdom. And you remember Jesus when He talked about the wise and the foolish? Jesus said, "The wise man is he who hears God's word." In the book of Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 24. The wise man hears God's counsel. The wise man listens and obeys the word of the Lord. Remember one of the things that's said in the book of 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 about a young man? About Timothy. "But that from a child thou hast fully known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Notice what's said now. From a child he knew the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. Well, how is it that a child learns the Scriptures? Well, a child is taught the Scriptures. You're taught that by your parents. You're taught that by your grandparents, perhaps. And that was the case here with this young man. The faith that existed in his grandmother and in his mother, they taught belief in Jesus Christ, the importance of being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ to him. But notice, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able. The Scriptures, the Word of God, are able to make you wise. Wise unto what? Salvation. You know, it's interesting. Some colleges and universities, oh yeah, we're going to throw in a Bible book here to study. I think they do that in a lot of our leading universities, maybe just to appease some of the parents. It's not much of a Bible class in a lot of places, is it? Usually it's a mockery when they tell you that they really don't believe what it says. It is a mockery. But we're told here that the Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. Well, they say that this is a good book, and everybody ought to study it. And you'll learn a lot of things. Some things they'll say are true and some things aren't. But you know what that's true about the Scriptures, despite what people say? The Scriptures will make you wise unto salvation. And don't ever forget that. If you're interested in salvation, it's the only book that'll do that. No other book will do it. There's no place else to turn. And it doesn't matter what anybody says about it. That's true. That's what the Scriptures say. And that has proven to be true over and over and over again. There were those that were made wise through the Scriptures. Through God. God gave them wisdom through His Word. And as we look and learn and study today God's Word, we gain wisdom from God and we learn what we need to do in order to be saved and to go home to heaven when we die. Won't you apply your heart to wisdom today? The Bible says they were well stricken in years. Well stricken in years. The life is soon cut off, no matter how long you live. And we need to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom. The invitation of the Lord is yours. We invite you to come and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It will show that you're making the application and applying your heart to God's Word and to His service. We're ready to assist you in any way that we can if you'll come while we stand and sing.